Thank the praise team. I want to give Evangelist Bob a tie. I gave him a tie last time. He wore the last tie that I gave him. So we give him another tie, a handkerchief, and some cufflinks.
All right. Brother. That's worth the trip over here, my brother. Thank you so much.
My wife wanted to give something to his wife.
Oh, how kind. How sweet. We appreciate that so much. And let me tell you right now, it's an honor and privilege to be here with you folks this evening. And I've looked forward to this for several days now. I've been praying that God would just give us a good old-fashioned, heaven-sent, prayed-down, preached-up revival meeting. Amen? That's what we're looking for, and that's what we're needing for the Lord to do. And it's so good to be with you again, Pastor John. I'll tell you, I've enjoyed being with him in days gone by. We've had some great meetings, and the Lord is wonderfully blessed. And we're just looking forward to hearing great things about this church. Call it River Valley?
North River Bible Baptist.
North, this one that you're pastoring?
Yes.
Yeah, North River Bible Baptist. Write that down, honey, so we don't forget it. North River Bible Baptist. All right, very good. Well, I thank the Lord, and I tell you what, I'm just anxious to get acquainted with all of you folks, and you folks from over here at Bible Baptist here too, looking forward to meeting you. And maybe I've seen a couple of you, and of course Pastor John and his wife, but not the only way that I know to get better acquainted, just jerk my coat off and go to preaching, right? All right. I heard about this old couple that was traveling through Chattanooga a few years ago on their way down to Florida. And so they were from Detroit, Michigan, and they were going down to spend the winter down in Florida. Well, at that time they had a little speed trap right there, right outside of Chattanooga. And sure enough, the old man wasn't paying any attention, and he got to speeding, and the long arm of the law reached out and pulled him over to the side. Police officer came up to the car, and he said, let me see your license. Well, his wife was sitting next to me, and she's hard to hear, and she said, what did he say? He said, he wanted to see my license. So officer looked at the license. He said, do you know something? He said, you were speeding. And his wife sitting there said, what did he say? He said, I was speeding. Police officer said, where are y'all from? The old man told him he's from Detroit. And all of a sudden, that police officer started laughing and slapping his leg and slapping his leg and laughing. He looked up the old man. He said, do you know something? He said, the meanest woman I ever met in my life was from Detroit. His wife was sitting next to him. She said, what did he say? He said, he thinks he knows you. So, I think I know some of you all, perhaps. But if we don't, we'll get better acquainted here when it's over. I am a missionary evangelist, which means I don't pastor a church. I did. I pastored a Baptist church for 20 years, but for the last several years now, I'm just a missionary. I travel all over the world. I've been around the world several times. I've preached in 23 different countries. And just recently, a month ago, I spent 2.5 months in Ireland and England and Europe and preaching every night. What time I wasn't traveling, I was preaching and trying to stir up revival over in that part of the country and all. And well, God gave us a great, great mission trip. The Lord wonderfully blessed. And it was so thankful. I'm so thankful that God opened up that door for us to preach there. I have been a Christian for 69 years. I have been preaching for 56 years. And I've been happily married for 53 years. And did you say you was going to go into the Navy? Oh man, that's my group. I served aboard a United States submarine for several years in the United States Navy. Yes, sir, that's my country, my people. I like it and all. You'll enjoy it. It'll be good for you. So, amen. Praise the Lord for people who want to help our country, amen, and defend our nation. We love America, don't we? I've been around the world, I told you, in all these countries, but I tell you what, there ain't no place like good old U.S. of A. I'll tell you that right now. Well, the pastor, he had told me, he said the theme that this meeting that he wanted to stick with was the single greatest reason why we are losing a generation. And you know what? I believe I've got the answer tonight, and I want to pass it on to you folks, and I hope you'll listen, maybe take notes, whatever lays on your heart. And of course, the single greatest reason that we are losing this generation is because we need revival. Yeah, I mean, that's the need of the hour. And so let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to begin in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's begin in reading at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. And while you're turning in your Bible too, I say it's good to meet these folks from Bible Baptist Church back here, and all of them too. It's good to meet you folks, and I do know your pastor. We live on the property of Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and his wife, she's one of the secretaries that works there in the office, and so we know her and all. So that brings us a little closer, don't it? A little nearer, and of course with Pastor John here, we've been with him several times, and always, he's just a special person. And you know what I liked about him the first time I heard him? Is because he believes the Bible. Amen. And he stands on the Bible. Amen. And he's got convictions about the Bible. And he's got convictions about our country and about Christians, about living for the Lord. And I urged him years ago, don't you ever compromise. Don't you ever back up. Don't you let anybody change you, no matter what happens. And praise God, he's still the same. Amen. The same today, and that's the way it ought to be. And same, let's hope he's the same yesterday and tomorrow, right? All right, 1 Peter, let's stand to our feet, would you? And you follow along. I'll read these verses. Then we'll have prayer, and then we'll say a few words. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, by the way, when I was in Bible college, my English teacher, she always said, when you see a wherefore, see what it's there for, right? And so this wherefore here actually is referring back to chapter 1. And what was just said there about the Word of God, that you're born again, not of corruptible seed and all of that, but of the Word of God, and all flesh is grass, and all of that will wither and falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And so then he continues on with that subject about the Bible. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 2 will be our text, where it says that you may grow thereby. See that? That you may grow thereby. And I want to speak on this subject, having revival today. Father, thank you again for this privilege, this honor to be here with these good people. How we love them. Thank you, Lord, for what they stand for. And we pray that your blessings will be upon them as they continue on trying to reach this area. Give them the message. Give them the place. Give them what they stand in need of. And Lord, this next few minutes, pray that you'll just shut off everything around us, and our hearts and minds will be around the blessed Word of God. So speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Having revival today. Hey, how is it possible for a church to have revival and grow today? You know, so many churches are down in spirit and down in attendance and down in offerings, and the pastors and church members are discouraged all across this country. I mean, church after church, place after place, almost without exception, in every meeting, and I preach somewhere almost every night, almost without exception, in every meeting where I preach, the question is always asked, preacher, what are we going to do? We have had to cut back on our mission support. Our offerings are down and attendance is so low that we are thinking about calling off midweek prayer meeting because very few attend. And that question is asked and asked and asked and asked. Well, I believe I have the answer. And it's not me, it's from the Word of God, and it's right from this passage of Scripture we have right now. I believe the Lord has given us what we stand in need of when it comes to this business of our churches growing, of our churches getting back on fire for the Lord, getting back serving the Lord like they're supposed to do. So in general, this is the answer I give. Number one, first of all, we must renounce sin in our own life. Here in chapter 2, verse 1, he gives a list of sins that hinder us, that keep us from the Word of God, that keep us from growing, that keep us from serving the Lord God of heaven. Let's look at them real quickly. There in verse 1, notice that. He said, laying aside. Now, friends, that's a requirement. If we want God to bless and if we want revival, you've got to lay aside some things in your own life. First of all, he says, you've got to lay aside all malice. Now, all malice, what does that mean, all malice? Well, malice is a person who is filled with apparently ill feelings and hurt at somebody, and they delight in hurting somebody else, and they actually are bitter, and they're actually angry. My, I don't know how many people in our Baptist churches today are just filled with bitterness. Oh, they come to church. You know, Baptists are good actors. You all know that. I mean, they ought to be in Hollywood. I mean, we've got Baptists come into church and they just smile and they just, you know, they just seem so happy and all. But you know what? They're down inside. They have bitterness and they have anger against different people. You know, somebody hurt them. Somebody cheated them. Somebody stabbed them in the back. Somebody let them down when they needed them the most. Their pastor did wrong. Your church did something they didn't agree with. Your mate did something you'll never forget. And on they go. I mean, they are bitter at everything and everybody all around them. I'll tell you what, that will hinder a church, and that will hinder growth, and that will hinder revival. There's no question about it, about this business of bitterness and so many people. Examine your own heart tonight. Do you have feelings against somebody you just can't forgive and can't forget? I have people come up to me all the time, and they'll tell me, preacher, this happened to me, and we was doing this, and that person did that, and he did this, and they just so angry, you can just tell. And then I say to them, when did this happen? 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and they know every detail. They know everything about it. They know all that happened, and that's all they bear on their mind. Hey, listen, get that out of your life tonight. If you want to grow, if you want your church to have revival, there was a man in the Bible that was bitter, that had malice in his life. Back in the Old Testament, I'll give you the story, and you can read it later if you want to, but his name was Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel, that's back in 2 Samuel chapter 17, and different chapters there in 2 Samuel tells about this man, Ahithophel. Now, please listen. The problem he had exists in the hearts of so many in our churches today. When Ahithophel, now he was David. Now, David was at that time king of Israel, and he was David's chief counselor. Back in those days, the kings had cabinet members, sort of like the president does today. They had people that advised them in war. They had people that advised them in as far as farm and things like that were concerned. Well, this fellow Ahithophel was David's chief counselor, 1 Chronicles 27:33. And he gave David advice on different things. And the Bible said it was as if God himself was giving counsel when this man Ahithophel talked to David. I mean, he seemed like he was talking from God. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, he and David had a wonderful close relationship. However, when David's son Absalom, remember him? How he rebelled against David, and Ahithophel right then changed sides and became Absalom's counselor. He betrayed David. And he went as far to say, and listen to this, he said to Absalom, if you give me enough men, I will kill David personally myself. Boy, where in the world did he get that hatred? I mean, he's David's counselor. He's been with him for years. How in the world did he get so much hatred inside of him? What would cause somebody to switch loyalty that quickly and have such hatred inside? What made Ahithophel so bitter at David? Well, listen to this. Ahithophel was the father of a man named Eliam.
All right, teach it.
And Eliam was the father of a young lady named Bathsheba. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. Now, you can understand why this man was so bitter down inside. Oh, nobody knew this. He didn't know it. David didn't know it. But down inside, this man was so bitter at David, and he had waited. I'll get even with him. What happened? What did David do? Oh, you remember what David did? David, he sinned when he lusted after Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, a young soldier on the foreign field fighting for David. And David now lusts after his wife. And as a result, he drew her into his up to his place where he lived. And as a result, he committed adultery. And she became with child. And through all of that, David had her husband killed in battle. A young couple like this. Here's a man and his wife. They're just getting started, and they're a sweet couple. And along comes David, who had all those wives. He had everything that he ever wanted, and yet he wanted her, and he ruined and wrecked a whole family. Well, you can understand then why this man Ahithophel was waiting for the opportunity. I'll get him. Well, here was his opportunity. David now has had to run out of the country. His son now has got all the people on his side, and it looks like that his son is going to take over the kingdom, and he had a chance. If he killed David, everybody would be proud of him. Man, he'd be a hero. So this was his opportunity to get that bitterness out of his life. But you know, there was another fellow there by the name of Hushai. And Hushai was David's private counselor. He had left him there as a secret witness. And when it came time, after Absalom asked Ahithophel what he wanted him to do, and then he said, wait a minute, here's another man, Hushai. Let's ask Hushai his opinion before we go on with this battle. And Hushai said, hey, that won't work. You're not going to get David out in the middle of the field somewhere and fight him. He said he'll be hid off somewhere in some cave. He's a smart fighter. He's not going to fool with that. If you want David, you'll have to go after him yourself, Absalom. And so Absalom said, well, I tell you what, I like Hushai's counselor better. And when that happened, this poor fellow realized that opportunity to get that even with David slipped through his fingers. And you know what he did? He got on his mule, rode home, set his house in order, hung himself. Boy, I told somebody the other day, I said, man, here's a man that hung himself because somebody did not take his advice. You know what, preacher? If I hung myself every time somebody didn't take my advice, I'd be hanging myself 100 times a day. You know what I mean? I mean, very few people ever listen to anything I say as far as advice is concerned. But David, what a guy. Well, Ahithophel, he ended up dead. You know, and that's exactly, so many people are so bitter and angry. Listen, get that out of your life. That's what the Bible is telling us here. That will hinder you. Get it out of your life. Be on guard against it and all. But number two, notice again the second thing here in chapter 2, verse 1. The second thing he mentions is guile. Guile's another thing. It'll kill your growth as far as God is concerned. It'll kill your hunger for the Word of God. It'll kill revival meeting. Listen, what is guile? Well, guile is sort of like hiding sin, covering up. And oh, this goes on too in our churches. So many people, rather than when we give an invitation and ask people to come to the altar and get right and confess their sins and get things out of their way so we can have revival, so many people just harb them up, and they hide those, and they cover them up thinking nobody knows and thinking nobody's going to find out. But listen, it hinders a church, and it hinders growth, and it hinders revival. And so I'm urging you tonight, get that guile out of your life. We must be careful in our everyday walk with God. Don't let guile get in you. And if there is, if you got sin in your life tonight, hey, confess it. Let's get right with God. Let's have revival. Let's have a stirring among our people. Oh, that's what we need, friends. You know one thing about God's Word? It contains no guile. There's no cover-up in the Bible, is there? There's no covering up. God doesn't, well, that happened bad, so I don't think I ought to tell that. No, the Bible tells it just like it is. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is, where it is, and it's nowhere watered down. It's nowhere diluted. It cuts, it cleanses, it clears, it comforts, it calls. That's the Word of God. And that's what it does for you. Well, to notice the third thing here in verse 1. And that was hypocrisies. Hypocrites. Ooh, do we have hypocrites? Huh? Do we got hypocrites? I've had people tell me, I'm sure you have too, preacher. I've had people come up and say to me, well, preacher, I join your church, but you know, you got a lot of hypocrites over there. And you know what I say? We sure do. We do. We have a lot. And I said, you know something else? They got a lot of hypocrites down there at Walmart. But people still go to Walmart, do they not? And there's a lot of hypocrites in the restaurant over there where you eat and all, but you still go eat there, right? And yeah, we're right. We do have hypocrites. There's no question about it. A hypocrite is somebody talking one way, but believing deep down in their heart another way. In other words, faking it and pretending you're better than you really are and lying without with your actions and so on. Oh, listen, friends, so many people, they worry about the hypocrite. They worry about, well, we have them. And if that's you tonight, if that's you in your life, you live one way at church and then you live another way at home and around your family and around your children, hypocrisies will kill your hunger for revival. It'll kill your hunger of growth. You cannot have revival when there's that kind of feelings in our life. Get it out. Number four, notice the fourth thing in that verse, the envy. Envy, feeling, here's envy is similar to jealousy. It's like you're jealous about somebody. Do we have people jealous in our churches? Oh, be careful, be careful. You know, when I used to pastor a Baptist church, I had a lot of members. And I, no joke, I had people that would come up to me after church on Sunday morning, and some woman would say, well, I'll tell you what, I will not be back to this church. Why not? Well, I came over here all this week and pulled weeds out of the flower garden, and you didn't even mention my name. Well, I didn't know she'd come over there and pull weeds. How did I know she'd pull weeds out of the garden and all that kind of business? And you know what I used to do on Monday? I used to spend the biggest part of my Monday after Sunday burping 200- and 300-pound babies. You know what I mean? You ever tried to burp a 300-pound baby? I mean, you know, they got their feelings hurt. They're never coming back. They're mad about this and they're mad about that. And they don't like this and all of that. They're jealous. They're jealous over everything that's going on. Jealous is about people getting more credit. You called on so-and-so to lead in prayer and you haven't called on me at all and all that. You know, that kind of stuff. Does that go on in our churches? Does it hinder our churches from revival? Does it hinder us from growth? Yeah, that's exactly what he's telling us. You got to lay aside. You got to lay that aside. Envy and all that goes with it. And then the fifth thing he mentions here is evil speakings. Oh boy, we're all guilty of this. To speak evil against somebody, slander somebody, doing something to hurt somebody else, their character or whatever, and gossiping. Are we good at gossiping? Oh yeah, all of us are we not? And of course, the Bible tells us you're to be careful about speaking evil about anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care care what you're talking about. Yeah, preacher, but did you know they did? The Bible says speak evil of nobody. We're to speak evil of no one. We're not to have that in our lives. We're to speak good. If you can't say something good, it'd be better not to say anything, wouldn't it? Do your best to say something good about people. And of course, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11 says, speak not evil one another, brethren. That's clear. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they've done. We're not to speak evil. Did you know we'd have more revival? We'd have more church growth if God's people would just practice these five things that we've got right here. Amen? It would be so much better on us. And so what he's saying here is we got to lay aside. We got to lay aside these things if we want God to bless. And you know what? That rebuking of sin in our life, it'll bring a new spirit. It'll bring a new spirit. It will renew faith in our hearts. I'll tell you what I think it'll do. I think it'll bring revival. I believe with all of my heart, if we would just get these things out of our life and serve God and put Him first, that the Lord would bless us with revival. And it would be a renewing our faith in our hearts. It would renew fellowship among our members. And it'll renew our families. Our families and all, that we may grow thereby. We want to grow, don't we? We want revival, don't we? Well, that's the first thing here. We've got to renounce sin in our life. Number two, what else? We must relish the Scripture. Relish the Scripture. Look at verse 2. In chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, what? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Boy, that's it. We must relish the Scripture. Every member should desire, hunger, thirst after the Word of God. Like a newborn babe desires milk. Everybody here has had babies in their house sometime or other, haven't you? We've had four. And oh my, could they drink the milk? Ooh, could they drink milk, man? And I remember my wife would leave me home babysitting, you know, and I'd have them up there and I had a bottle in my hand and I'd stick that bottle, boy, they're little, and you know, for meanness, y'all won't tell this, will you? But for meanness, I'd take that bottle out of their mouth and they go, what? Ah, and then you ram it back in their mouth, and then take it back out. I used to, you know, tease like that and so on and all. But those babies, they love that milk. Well, now that's the way it is when you get saved. When you trust the Lord as your Savior, you desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You get a hunger for the Word of God. What gives you a hunger? Well, it's that Holy Spirit that comes in. Did you know the moment you trust the Lord as your Savior, when you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ, and He comes and saves your soul, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in to abide with us. And He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's there forever. And it's that Holy Spirit that gives us a hunger for the Lord and for His Word. You know, when I got saved, April 20th, 1949, something happened to me. I have never been the same since that day. I had a change. My life was changed. Never to be the same again. You know, the things I wanted to do before that, I didn't want to do after I got saved when the Holy Spirit came in. The things I didn't want to do before I got saved, that's the very things I wanted to do when the Holy Spirit came into my life. Yes, Paul was right. When he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he said that all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. They do when you get saved. When Jesus comes into your heart, your life is changed. I'll tell you what happened. When the Lord saved me, I wanted to go to church. Do you want to go to church? I love to go to church. I'm in church. I'm in church every night, just about. At what time when my wife and I are not traveling, we're in church. I never grow tired of church. I honestly, in all the years I've been saved, 69 years, not one time, not once, has anyone ever had to call up my home and say, Bob, we missed you yesterday. You wasn't in church. Well, I was a little tired. No, that's never happened. You know what? Because I've always been, as far as I can remember, I've always been there. I'm sure I've missed. I know I was sick sometime or other and didn't make it. When I was in the Navy on that submarine out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, certainly I didn't go to church. But you know something? I've always wanted to. When the Lord saved me, I wanted to go to church. You know something else? I wanted to give to the work of the Lord. I love to give, don't you? I love to tithe. I love to give my offering to the church I'm a member. And when I'm somewhere else, I love to give an offering. It's just a joy, a privilege to give. And you know something else? I wanted to tell others what Jesus had done for me when He saved me. I still do. I've not always done it. I've failed a lot of times, but I want to tell others. And you know something else? I wanted to know more. Amen. About the Lord. And I'm still wanting to know more. I'm still hunger for the Word of God. Peter was right. I was like a newborn baby. I desired the sincere milk of the Word. And you know something? It's still there. When I got saved, my Sunday school teacher gave me a Bible. I've still got it. I pulled it out the other day. It's old, and it wasn't an expensive Bible. It was a cheap Bible, and the cover is rotten off of it and everything. But inside that flyleaf, my Sunday school teacher wrote this, and it's still there. He said, listen, read this Bible. Read it, he said, to be wise, and then believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. Then he put in here, in that word, he put, this book will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book. You know, he was right. Oh, how many times I lost my hunger for the Bible. How many times I lost my desire, my relish of the Scripture and the Word of God. You know, every time I lost my desire for the Bible, you know what was wrong? I had little sins, sometimes big sins. It didn't matter, unconfessed sins I had harbored drove me from a desire and a love for the Word of God. Amen? It'll keep you from the Bible. It'll keep you from this book and all. Oh, that's the reason it's so important to confess our sins tonight. Every member should desire. And like a newborn babe, every member, we ought to continue to grow and desire the Word. And you know what? That'll bring revival. I'm telling you, the Bible, this book will bring revival. If we could just get our people to read their Bible every day systematically and continuously, I believe we'd have revival. I believe our churches would grow. I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to study the Bible, relish the Bible, relish the Word of God. And you know, when we do, it brings revival in our Sunday school. It brings revival in our worship service. It brings revival in the community. Amen? People want to get in there and get if something's going on over here, boy, they want to come and watch it. They want to see what's happening. And let's let them know, as our sister testified a few minutes ago, hey, let's not come in all droopy and dreary open. Well, good to see you all and all. Come in with a spring in your step and a song on your lip, brother. Come rejoicing tonight. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're here tonight? You know what I tell folks sometimes? If you're saved, notify your face. Right? A lot of people sit there like they swallowed a curtain rod or something. Or like their mother-in-law moved in for 2 or 3 months. You know what I mean? Oh, listen, let's enjoy it. Let's rejoice. Let's relish the Word of God. Then number three, what else do we need to do? We need to recognize who Christ is. Amen. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. In verse 3 it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Recognize who Christ is. You know what? He's the reason for the Bible. You know the subject of this book? You know what the subject of the Bible is? The subject is Jesus Christ and how a man may go to heaven. I was sitting in McDonald's in Ireland, and I was sitting next to him talking to this fellow, and he said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe the Bible. I said, you ever read the Bible? Hey, he said, I've read a few verses. I said, well, how can you say you don't believe the Bible if you've never read it? That didn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? How can anybody say they don't believe it if they've never read it? Oh, he said, I've read it. I said, well, tell me, what is the subject of the Bible? I said, every time you go to college or school and you make a book report, you got to give an outline and you got to tell the subject of the book. I said, what's the subject of this book? He had no idea. I said, see there, how can you? I said, let me challenge you, young man. Just read the Bible. Just read it and then throw it away if you don't want it. See what it does to you. I'll guarantee you, if he'll pick it up and read it, it'll change his life, right? It'll change your life. It'll change all. That's what I'm saying, friends. Listen, we got to recognize who Christ is. He's the subject of this Bible. He's the living Savior. And we must realize he's alive today, seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and he's making intercession for us. Well, let's take our burdens to him tonight. You know something? He's the rock of the church. Amen. In verse 5, he tells us there, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood and to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He's the rock of the church. It's a spiritual house. The Lord's church. You know something? We're to be a spiritual people too. We're to be a holy priesthood. That's what it says there in that verse 5. A holy priesthood. You know what? We who are saved. Listen to me now. We who are saved, we are called upon to live a holy, separated, dedicated life to Jesus Christ. Amen. When folks see you tomorrow, or they see you at the store, or they see you down in your yard, or wherever you are, you know what? We ought to show the world we've got something that's real. We ought to show people tonight that we're saved, that we're going to heaven, that Jesus lives in our heart, that we got something that lasts forever and forever and forever. Yeah, recognize who Christ is. If we want to grow, if we want revival, and then last of all, if we want to grow, if we want revival, we must renew our standing with God. Look down in verse 9. In verse 9, he said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You know what? We got to recognize who we were. Who were you? Before the Lord saved you, what happened? Oh, we were sinners, right? Oh, what a sinners. And you know what? After the Lord saved us, we're still sinners. This sinner is saved by grace. That's all we can say. We can't go around bragging how good we are. We can't go around bragging how wonderful and holy I am. But you know what? We ought to strive to live that kind of life. We ought to want to live that kind of life for the Lord tonight. We ought to show others around us and let them recognize that we are in Christ and we're standing. Our standing is Him. And we need to renew our vows to the Lord tonight, right here, before you leave this building. Make sure you're still in fellowship with God and you're living for Him and you're serving. Don't hinder this church and don't hinder this group from going forward for the Lord. And then last of all, you've got to remember the purpose of the church. You know what it is? Christ organized His church while He was here during His earthly ministry, and the reason? To evangelize the world. You know what He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19? Go ye into all the world. Who's He talking to? That local church that He organized. This church right here that you all are members of. And this church building here, this church that these folks are part of. That's what the Lord is telling us. We're all saved for that purpose. And our job is to evangelize. Is to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Did you know no one has ever been saved? And no one will ever be saved until they first hear the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can be saved without that. That's the reason you ought to carry tracts in your pocket wherever you go. Oh, listen, don't walk out the house without tracts in your purse. And you men, your shirt pocket, that ought to be the first thing you put in your shirt pocket is a gospel tract. And give them out. Tell people about the Lord, because they're lost. And without Jesus, they'll die and they'll go to hell. And so our job is, like Jesus said, we must be reminded that why we are saved. We're saved to tell others what He has done for us. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Oh, I thank God. I thank the Lord tonight that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I tell folks I'd rather be here tonight in best hospital in town, wouldn't you? I'm glad I can come to church, and I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'm glad that I'm born again, and that I'm going to live with the Lord forever and forever. And don't you rejoice in that this evening? Isn't it wonderful to know that we're saved tonight, going to heaven? So how to grow, how to have revival, how, as our pastor here has encouraged us, to give the reason why we are losing a generation. We need revival.